hour number three of Chasing Big Joe, sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby in with you. Chasing Joe out today. They are in Rayon City making crayons.
There you go.
Crayons. As the request of our listeners, I have to say it the southern way. Crayon.
A little y'all in your drawl.
Y'all in your drawl. A little bit of breaking news to give you. As we did a little bit of digging to make sure this was valid. This was an hour ago, but it wasn't promoted for whatever reason. Diego Pavia has claimed the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, which is given to the top senior quarterback in the nation, and they excel in the classroom and in the community. I'm not sure Diego Pavia is in the classroom, but whatever. Regardless, he is the first Commodore in history to do so. So congratulations to Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia for bringing home this prestigious award.
And it could be the first of maybe a couple others. I don't know.
Maybe.
During the break when we all saw the news, like I looked up on Twitter, what were some college quarterbacks that won the Johnny Unitas and the Heisman Trophy? And it came up as Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Marcus Mariota, Lamar Jackson, Robert Griffin III. So that may be something that Vanderbilt fans have some hope for, that Pavia is still in the running for the Heisman.
Yeah, not that it's nearly as prestigious as the Heisman, but
right.
He has to be all SEC, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be all SEC first team.
Absolutely.
He is the most impactful quarterback in the country.
Is he SEC Offensive Player of the Year?
That's an argument because there's a lot of positional value.
I'd say Marcel Reed's up for that.
Marcel Reed? I mean, as far as I like KC Concepcion, who's Marcel Reed's throwing the ball to, but yep. There's a lot of consideration that has to go into that. Eli Stowersell could be Offensive Player of the Year. So a lot of consideration to that. But regardless, Diego Pavia is your Johnny Unitas Golden Arm winner. So congratulations to him. We are discussing sort of a debate that sparked.
Mm-hmm.
If a team makes a college or a conference championship and loses, should they be punished in the poll? Or not the poll, the rankings.
The ranking, yeah.
A lot of you have a lot of thoughts on this. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeremy in Clarksville, does the CFP committee really have a precedent? They make up rules week to week and year to year. That is factual. Justin in Greenbrier, what makes me think that Vanderbilt has been screwed is the clear and obvious bias against them. I disagree. The moving target that they were asked to hit gives more weight to the screwed narrative. Again, I don't think they were screwed. I don't think there was a vendetta against Vanderbilt to keep them out of the playoff. But if you believe that, then that's for you to believe.
Even Pavia kind of believed that a little bit.
Yeah.
That clip I sent you last night, I don't know if we have it or not, but
mm-hmm.
Matthew Berry even asked him, do you think it's because of the previous persona this program has had with the losing records? Absolutely. That's what Pavia said. Absolutely. We're getting penalized for something that we have no control over this year.
And they are.
Yeah.
But it's not because there's this set vendetta that the committee has. We are going to keep Vanderbilt out of the college football playoff at all costs.
Right.
That is not at all what's happening. Brian says, if your conference championship can get you into the playoffs, then why wouldn't it keep you out of the playoffs? I feel like it should count. L, either way, a win or loss should affect your results. I can understand that. My stance on this is, if you're playing in a conference championship, it's because you were good enough in the regular season to earn that game. It's not a given game. It's an earned game. So I think winning a conference championship could just absolutely help you, unless it does, because the rules are set that way. The top five conference champions are guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. But if you lose that game, say Indiana loses to Ohio State, they're not going to drop out of the top four because of the season they've had in the regular season. They have one loss, and as Jess is kind of jumping on us about it, but I'll read their text. If Indiana lost to Ohio State, you wouldn't have them in the top four or five at all. I think this is directed at
yeah.
you. How would that work? Indiana has by far the better regular season win than any of Ohio State's. Vandy fans, not saying you are, but from what I've heard, are discrediting this Indiana team in ways that they don't currently appreciate. Also, Vandy definitely deserves to be in. If the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't see what a great story that'd be outside of the fact that they're more deserving, it's their loss. I would feel sorry for Vandy, though. Love what they have going on. And obviously, they're from Indiana. So, I think that's a fair point.
I mean, look, the two ranked wins that Indiana has on their schedule, they're both top 10 wins. Illinois at the time when they were number 9.
Okay? That's true.
Then you go on the road and you beat Oregon. That's a big win. I consider that. I really do. And Oregon was number 3 at the time. So, yes, I even though they have two top 10 wins, I would still leave them outside the top 4, top 5. That's just the way I'm looking at it. I mean, if I were to go to Texas A&M's schedule right now, and I will do that as I currently am on the radio. Let's see. tried to get all this all situated, but the Notre Dame game, to me, we understand Notre Dame's not what they were. And you could say the same thing about Illinois. Illinois is not what everybody thought they
Illinois
were.
Illinois finished unranked.
Right. And you look at Notre Dame when they lost to A&M, they were ranked 8th in the nation. And so Illinois was ranked 9th. So you could go either way with that. But then you continue to go on and on and on, an LSU team, a Missouri team. Both of those games, I believe, came after the Vandy weeks. So that was when LSU was a top 10 team, right?
Yeah.
And then Missouri was a top 15.
You got to say it like Joe Biden.
Minnesota!
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Missouri was a top 15 team at the time when they played Vandy, and they both digressed, right? So then you look at a A&M to comparison to Indiana, to me, and it kind of goes off the eye test. I even mentioned it when we were talking about it last segment. The eye test is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And to me, the eye test beats out Indiana's eye test, if that validates anything the texter's trying to ask, which it doesn't because I'm giving him the committee answer or her the committee answer. I mean, that's simply it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting argument I'm finding. I just feel that if you earn a game and you earn the opportunity to compete for your conference championship, only two teams in your conference get that. I'm not saying it should be optional to look at. I think on some level, let's say Ohio State goes out and just completely bends Indiana over. Then I would say, yeah, maybe Indiana needs to be outside of the top 4.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to get to here, and thank you for clarifying that because
What I'm saying is if this game goes the way I think it goes and it comes down to the wire and Ohio State and Indiana and Ohio State beats Indiana, then I think we need to have a conversation. Indiana should be like the 3 or 4. They're going to move down because you lost to the number 1 team in the nation. But I'm saying on a grander scale, whoever loses in a conference championship game, I don't think should be completely removed from a college football playoff picture.
So what? Again, I'm playing.
Go for it. No, do it.
What about Duke?
Okay, that's an outlying conversation.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I'm joking. I was just going to put a joke out there. But no, thank you for clarifying that Indiana-Ohio State thing. Because personally, as much as I love watching Kurt Cignetti put together an undefeated season, we all know what Ohio State's good for. I mean,
they're on paper a much better team than Indiana.
Yeah, and if that does come true to the point where they beat them by 2 or 3 scores, just to your text, that's kind of why I would say they would drop out of the top 4 or 5, you know, spot, is because A&M is on a idle bye week. They don't have to do anything, and that helps out their resume, because when they lost to A&M, it was a close game for the most part. I mean, if Marcel Reed kind of didn't get hurt early on in the game, he did come back and play, but a 10-point loss, if Ohio State beats Indiana by, I don't know, 25, 24 points, that validates that for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if it goes down to the wire, I think you would get to the point where it's, okay, Ohio State's your number 1. Let's say Georgia wins the SEC championship. They're number 2. Texas Tech wins the Big 12. They're number 3. Then we can put Indiana there.
Yes.
At number 4.
Yeah, if it's like a 1 possession, 2 possession loss, if that's the answer you're looking for, Jess, yes, I would still keep them in the top 4 or 5 that way.
Quickly, let's go to our phone lines. Welcome in Steve from Franklin, who has a comment on the college football playoff discussion. Steve, go ahead.
Hey. Yeah, I got a real problem with Alabama getting in if they lose to Georgia. Should be their third loss. And to say that They earned their way in the championship game. They had the same conference record as A&M and Ole Miss. They just won some quirky tiebreaker to get to go. So I think they should be out if they lose.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call. That's an interesting conversation as well. I think what is putting Alabama in this conversation and in the SEC championship is they beat the team they're playing. They beat Georgia on the road, which at the time was a top 10 win and is now currently a top 4 win. That's what gets them in. And I understand the notion that, you know, they lost to Florida State to start the season. They lost to Oklahoma at home, close. But Texas A&M, I mean, they had one of the easier schedules in the SEC, we'll say. They lost on the road at Texas. So Ole Miss lost to Georgia. Beat Oklahoma, but lost to Georgia in collapsing fashion. So Georgia absolutely deserves to be in the SEC championship, and I think A&M's loss solidified that.
Mm-hmm.
The next, you know, who they play, it's between those three. And if we're going off the tiebreakers and the resume, Alabama clearly has the best. So that's just my opinion on that. You're welcome to disagree. But
no, I mean, to the caller's point, to Steve's point, I could see where he has a little bit of a problem with Alabama making it in the playoff. I could see that. Like, you look at Texas, and I go back to Steve Sarkisian's case to have a three-loss Texas team in there. If Bama does lose, which it might happen, I mean, it's a 50-50 shot, you kind of have to have the conversation. And that's why I am frustrated with the committee, because it kind of ties Vanderbilt back into the conversation of you put, and we both agreed on this, you put Texas in front of Vanderbilt because that roadblocks them. That cannot elevate them into the top 10.
There's nothing they can do.
Yeah. And so if Alabama loses by two or three possessions, like, which we probably don't think will happen, but say they do, that'll leave them out and then make a valid case for Texas to be in the top 10, top 11, which is just ridiculous. That no three-loss team should be in the playoff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it kind of ties back to the conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Should a loss in a conference championship get in? And we saw it last year. A three-loss team in Clemson made the college football playoff because they won their conference championship. So we'll see if the opposite happens this time around. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, is there a legitimate shot that the Atlantic Coast Conference, or as they call it now, the All Coast Conference, the ACC, is left out of the college football playoff? There's an extreme chaos scenario that could play out, and it's a lot more likely than you think. We'll talk about that coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Known top five artist on the Connor Newt Spotify rankings. A lot of people made fun of me for it, but I'm not ashamed. Welcome, Sabrina Carper, as Hoda called her one time. It was a good time. This is a great song. You know this song, Frazier?
I am now.
It's Man Child.
Man Child.
It's a good one. Welcome back in, Chasing Big Joe on this beautiful Friday.
So many jokes I wanted
Friday.
To say. I'm not going to say them.
The first Friday of Advent, as this room is just filled with Catholicism right now. A couple of Catholics taking you through the day. As Jason Big Joe are out in Rayon City making crayons, taking a crayon class. They took a break from the cloud storage thing. I think Chase's wall just has too much of those plaques.
They're making like these, from what I was told recently, off the text line, my personal text line, they are making custom crayons to where it has a very sharp point.
Ah.
So when they sign their you know, John Hancock on the giant paper, they can get a nice pinpoint action.
That was a suit request when he's doing all his paperwork here.
Yeah.
Like signing me to a multi-million dollar extension.
Stephen A., man.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. there is a chaos scenario that could take place this weekend in college football. So let's say we look at the ACC championship, the All Coast Conference, as their fans call it, because you have SMU who's in Texas and Stanford, who is in California in the Atlantic Coast. So, the All-Coast Conference. Virginia and Duke. Duke is 7-5 on the season and somehow, some way, made it into the ACC championship. There is a scenario that if James Madison wins tonight, they win the Sun Belt over Troy, and Duke wins the ACC championship, there is a scenario where both James Madison and the winner of the American Conference, that's between Tulane and North Texas, could both get in. You would have two Group of Five schools in the college football playoff. Is there a legitimate shot that we see two Group of Five teams make the college football playoff for the first time ever?
Absolutely. And I think America would love that. I know everyone wants to see an ACC team.
Yeah.
But I think America would really love this. And look, I don't know what the gist would be if North Texas wins the AAC, the Athletic American Conference, between Tulane.
American Athletic.
American Athletic, excuse me, backwards, all the above. It's all same acronyms. but you look at Tulane and North Texas. If North Texas wins, does that put them in over Tulane?
Yes.
So then this is what I think. I think it'll be North Texas and JMU, and then you go away with the ACC. I think that's just exactly what everybody wants.
Virginia currently favored by 4, according to DraftKings. According to ESPN Analytics, so take this as you will, they have a 56.3% chance of winning.
I would put that more in the 60 to 70 percentile because they beat Duke earlier in the year. I think it was like 34 to 17, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bank on this happening. That said, I wouldn't have banked on Duke making the ACC championship, and here they are at 7-5 competing for a conference title. So,
I don't know if you heard Manny Diaz earlier in the week. He was on some sort of ACC show maybe, but they asked him, so if you win the ACC championship, you're in the playoff, right? He goes, absolutely. What playoff is out there where the ACC champion doesn't go into the playoff?
This one.
And I was like, this one?
This one if you win it. To his point, if the ACC is completely left out of the college football playoff, we are going to hear a lot from the courtrooms. I mean, Miami is going to whine. Duke is going to whine. Virginia's probably going to whine. Georgia Tech may whine because they feel like they have it at Pitt. The conference itself, the conference chairman, it's all going to be headed to Washington. And Charlie Baker, the head of the NCAA, better have his phone on standby because he's going to be fielding a lot of calls from the ACC.
Don't you love it? Everybody wants politics to stay out of college football, but look, they're taking it to the courts up in D.C.
Yeah.
Politics will be involved.
It is always going to be involved.
And the people that, you know, knock the current president right now and Donald Trump saying, don't sign an executive order to put Miami and Vanderbilt in the playoff. Like, come on. It's just fodder. Everybody loves the joking around. It probably won't happen, but look.
Two great teams.
It's all going to, you know, coerce with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is an absolute extreme chaos scenario, but it's actually more likely than you think. All it takes is for Duke to win and JMU to beat Troy, which they are. Let me see what the odds are on that one. Not that odds are everything, but James Madison is a 23.5-point favorite over Troy tonight.
Oh boy.
Think you could bet pretty heavily on the Dukes winning the Sun Belt Championship.
Now, is the JMU head coach, I know he's going elsewhere because Billy Napier will be the new head coach for them next season.
He is headed to UCLA.
Correct. Is he going to be coaching
tonight?
Yes. Okay. I know there was John Summerall, when he accepted the UF job, Florida job, that he was going to coach for Tulane throughout this whole process.
I would say the majority of coaches that have left are going to remain coaching.
Yeah.
Like Will Stein took the Kentucky job. He is still going to call plays and be the offensive coordinator for Oregon through the playoffs. The only one that's not is good old Lane Train, and that's because of extreme circumstances.
Look, so, Lane left Mississippi so the Bulldogs could fly. You know they say when pigs fly?
And the Cats.
Yeah, and the Cats.
They just flipped a 4-star wide receiver originally committed to LSU. So,
gotta
thank you,
it.
Lane. God bless you.
Every time Lane leaves, good things happen for other programs.
It's going to happen again in 5 years when Alabama calls.
Yeah. They say when pigs fly, it's more like when bulldogs and cats fly. That's what it is.
My dad and I were talking about this the other day. I kind of believe this will be Lane Kiffin's last head coaching job.
Whoa.
Because of how this has played out, all the bridges he's burned. I think if he doesn't work out in LSU, which is a high possibility, people will look at how this was handled and say, we don't want to take a risk on that. Unless it's like a small group of five that's just trying to become somewhat notable.
I know one program that I can confidently say would say yes to Lane Kiffin, and it's in the SEC.
Alabama.
Yeah, it'd be Alabama.
I think the only way they do that is if the old ball coach calls up and says, he's my friend, and hire him.
That's what he did for LSU.
That is exactly what he did for LSU.
And he still has his office in Tuscaloosa at the stadium. The field is named after him. So I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think anyone would want to take a risk. Anyone would say, oh, he's going to, you know, he's such a good man. Look at what some of the players are tweeting.
Yeah.
Quote tweeting his statement and saying, this is all BS. You didn't say that. You lied to us and left overnight. Lane Kiffin has proven he is a heel.
He even left juice behind.
Do you think there is an NFL owner out there potentially risk willing enough to take that chance? I mean, obviously it was just the rumor, but he was floated around potentially for that Titans opening before the LSU thing became fruition. I don't see it, but
I don't think he translates to the NFL that much.
I mean, we've all seen Lane Kiffin experiment with the Raiders way back in the day, but you look at Kiffin now, I think he just relates to the kids now. He relates to them in a different fashion that I think a lot of older heads don't. And it's
old heads,
you know, the boomers.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones and texts coming up next. Stick with me, Dan. I'll get right to you. We'll continue this conversation on the college football playoff coming up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby in for Chase and Joe on Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Is this your girl?
It's just great country music. I mean, do you not hear the steel pedal guitar in the background?
Oh, one of my favorite instruments.
I mean,
what is this song called? I know who it is.
Choosing Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ella Langley.
A little Texas two-step in there.
Ella Langley.
Probably fitting for the CFP.
Yeah.
It is. Probably number two in the female country music power rankings.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely top of the charts right now.
She's number two.
Not Mariah Carey. Miranda Lambert was up there for a long time.
It's Lainey Wilson right now.
Yeah, Lainey Wilson's up there right now.
I would put her at number two.
Yeah.
And then maybe Miranda.
Yeah, she's fallen a little bit, for sure. Then Carrie Underwood's probably top 10.
Carrie's gone a little more faithful as of late, though.
Hey, I mean, she's getting paid what?
And good honor.
Isn't it $1 million or $18 million every Sunday for the Sunday Night Football?
I mean, she's got it going.
I mean,
still has the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
Love me some Carrie Underwood. Let's go to our phone lines. Welcome in Dan to the program. Dan, go ahead.
Thank you guys for taking my call. First of all, I want to say it's really a joy listening to 102.5 at this time of day. Didn't listen for a long time. We'll just leave it at that. But I like the changes. That's all I'm going to say. I know you guys are filling in. And I'm not sure how old you guys are or, you know, how if you're from this area. I lived in Murfreesboro for a lot of years, moved out, still in Middle Tennessee, and I recently bought a business here in Murfreesboro, a decent-sized business. We ordered four season tickets to MTSU football.
Mm.
I think six tickets were used. They're four seats. I think we used six tickets the entire year. Just want to know if you could explain to me why you're talking about Tulane and JMU. JMU, you know, they've just come out of nowhere. Middle used to be kind of one of those teams in the OVC, and then they moved to the Sun Belt, and then they moved to Conference USA. Can you explain? It just seems like they're always the guy that shows up an hour late at a party, and the pretty girls have already left. It just seems like nobody even talks about Middle. And I really don't know the history. I talked to one of the basketball season ticket guys, and he said the AD burned some bridges when he left the Sun Belt and merged. And I don't know. It just seems like, to me, the largest university in the state of Tennessee and 30 miles from a top 20 television market, and we're playing an off-season, we got the fire beat out of them. I mean, I'm just trying to find out what happened that no one wants MTSU. Their stands are empty. I just don't know how all of a sudden we still got – y'all were talking about the American Athletic. I don't know why someone wouldn't want middle. And I'm going to hang out and listen, guys. Enjoying the show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, it's – I'm asking myself the same thing. As a student of MTSU, and you're an alumni as well.
Yep.
So it is kind of tough to see that team not succeed to their fullest. I can't really give you the historical background of why they left the Sun Belt, why they're in Conference USA right now. I can somewhat give you why they've trailed off. It's because of things have gone wrong. They fired Rick Stockstill, brought in Derek Mason. That hire has not panned out to the level it was expected to so far.
I just think they're growing pains.
It's growing pains.
To Dan's call, and great call.
I
look at it as a former, you know, student and alumni now. Like, this is a growing pain situation, and I'm not trying to give you the, you know, grammatically correct answer whatsoever. I'm just telling you what I feel from the heart. I'm a half glass full kind of guy, and I fully believe that MTSU's athletics can get back to where they were.
I agree.
In glory form. As for football, sure, the season didn't go the way they wanted it to. But overall, you just got to – I don't want to say give it time because that's what people hate to hear, give it time. If you go back and look at some of the losses on MTSU's schedule, there were, I'd say, four of them that I recall looking online that came down to a one-possession game. And that has to show you some form of promise and some form of direction. I mean, sure, you're going to be missing a few players after, you know, graduating or transfers or whoever it may be. But you bring in new faces and new energy. That's kind of what you need in programs that are in this group of five scenario. And this kind of brings another topic to the conversation is, will the group of five ever have their own college football playoff or their own national championship? I'm still optimistic that could possibly happen.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, we had that conversation last Saturday, last summer. Remember, it was Parker, Jake, myself, and you, and we all were doing a roundtable, and like, what if there was a relegation system for each conference?
I'm not in favor of relegation.
No, but it got to the conversation of Group of Five to have their own national title
yes.
game. And I think that might be a direction where college football might look at it. But to MTSU's point, just there's a lot of good things that are beyond the horizon.
MTSU, I think, is just, I guess, unfortunately, a product of the current system, and that's if you have a remotely good player on a G5 school, chances are they're going to be spotted and head to a bigger program. That's just how things work. That's how it works in the Wild Wild West right now. And that's unfortunate for teams like MTSU who are building and trying to get back to prominence. I remember my freshman year of college. I'm a senior right now. I've got one more semester, but my freshman year, they had just come off an appearance in the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah.
They had eight wins that year. So I would love to see them return to some sort of prominence and some sort of relevancy in the Conference USA, because I think it's a very, very winnable conference.
And the reason why I'm so confident in the future of just MTSU athletics as a whole, and especially football, look at the brand new facilities they've just
built. Beautiful.
It's beautiful, which gravitates recruits. It gravitates players to be able to hydrate and get back to their full form. Mm-hmm. That's something, as a former player for the both of us, you want to be able to build back your muscles and so forth. And when you have the right resources, you can do that. You can take your talents the next step up at the program of Middle Tennessee State University.
Let's go back to our phone lines. Welcome in our buddy Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, man, to the Middle Tennessee guy. You got to throw buckets of money at it, dude. And you can't hire dudes like Derek Mason. Like, no offense to him. He's the nicest guy in the world. But so was Marcus Mariota. And I was tired of him being my quarterback at one point. It can't just be it's a good guy. Like, he's not a good head coach. He's a great coordinator. He's a great coordinator. He's great at dealing with the media. But Derek Mason can't coach. And until you get serious, like, Murfreesboro's got money. Like, I can't afford to do anything in Murfreesboro. What are you talking about? Like they've got plenty of money. Throw it like Vandy did. Vandy threw buckets of money at a problem, and look at them. They changed everything for their program. So until you're willing to get serious about, you know, with yourself about who your coach is and what you're looking for, and then throw a bunch of money at it, it's going to be the same thing for Middle, man. And I hate it because I was part of that. I had a lot of fun watching that 15 seed rolling through the tournament. You know, years ago. Like, that was exciting for Middle. It's the last time they were relevant in anything. You know, correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I think you just have to throw a lot of money at it, man. That's what you do in 2025.
They got a good tennis program. Just letting you know that. I might want to check that out.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Yeah, you're right. Their tennis program is great. I fortunately got to take a class with the women's tennis coach this semester, and she's awesome. So look at their basketball. I encourage you, if you haven't, to go out to the Murphy Center this year and watch that men's basketball team play this year. They're really good.
Yeah.
They are, like, I think they're tournament good. Like, they could make it into March Madness.
I mean, they were neck and neck with LSU last year, right? Mm-hmm. In the tournament. So that's,
well, that was the women's team.
That's what I'm saying. Women, I'm just, basketball is
they're
in
good,
general.
They're good, too.
Yeah.
They're very young. Like, they only have one senior on their entire roster. So they're going to be good for years to come. This men's team is kind of what I thought was going to be a rebuilding team.
Mm-hmm.
They're proving me wrong. They are competing. I mean, they got their doors blown off in Ann Arbor, but Michigan is the best team in the country right now, in my opinion. But they had a big win the other day against UAB. They're competing. I think they're capable of winning the conference and making it all the way to March. But as far as MTSU football, yes, I'm with you. I would love to see them return to prominence and maybe be that G5 team in the college football playoff someday. But that day is not today. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for your text and phone lines. Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, it's going to be a struggle bus between myself and Brandon, I guess. We're going to play. But celebrity birthdays as we wrap things up on Chase and Big Joe. First one to get one wins. Not actually, but maybe so. We'll do that coming up next, right here on Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby here with you. Again, Chase and Big Joe, you missed a good one today. But I understand. Crayon making in Rayon City is much more important than your actual day job. So I get it. With that, we attempt to play the game that they wrap things up with every day. This is probably going to be the worst game played of all time. But we tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Take it away, Nick Frazier.
Thank you. Today is AFL-CIO Day. It is every – this is December the 5th.
I thought the AFL didn't exist anymore. It was part of the merger.
Let's see here. Oh, boy. Bartender Appreciation Day is today. Shout out to the bartenders.
Yeah, shout out bartenders.
Bathtub Party Day. So
we're going to celebrate that after the show.
Yeah, Day of the Ninja. Okay. Let's
no
see.
Comment on that one.
International Sweater Festival Day. So there's a festival for sweater vests.
Okay.
So if you like doing that.
I won't be partaking in that, but all right.
International Volunteer Day. National.
When's National Commodore Day? I see what I did there.
I like that. I like that. National Comfort Food Day is today.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a comfort food, there you go.
Cheese tortellini tonight, baby.
That does sound good. National, oh boy. National Satcher Tort Day. Sachet. It's a
do what to my tort?
It's something with a cake. All right, that's all we gotta know. Let's see.
This is a family
day.
Show, pal.
World Soil Day. I know the Midwest has some dark soil.
Don't soil yourselves today, fellas.
Soiled it. National Commute with Your Baby Day. So if you have a car and a baby, you know, go commute somewhere. National Blue Jeans Day is today. Wear your nice blue jeans.
Elton John rejoices.
And last but definitely not least, this goes down into the Chase Big Joe Show Hall of Fame. Krampus Natch Day. Today is...
I don't even know what to comment on that.
Today is Krampus Snatch Day. I don't know how else to describe it, but they die laughing every time they hear it.
Krampus Snatch.
So what they are, they're like people that dress up like...
I'm aware. It's like a German festivity. Like,
yeah, it's celebrated in Switzerland too. Like,
yeah.
It's an oddball thing. I don't know.
Interesting.
But to the birthdays.
Let's do it.
Let's see. So I accidentally did the wrong birthday date. December the 6th. So we can go December the 6th if you guys would like.
No, we got to stay true to the tradition.
Yeah. So first on the list, we have politician Andrew Cuomo for December the 5th. So Andrew Cuomo, how old is Andrew Cuomo? Brandon, go ahead.
66.
Okay.
I'll go younger, 55.
He is 67. So Brandon's got it first there.
No joke will be made here. We are not under the age of 12.
Thank you.
Let's see here. TV actress Ava Kolker. Never heard of her before.
I don't know who that is. 27.
All right.
Yeah, smart answer, Connor. 32.
19. So
she is of age, so I guess she could be on the program.
Another TV actor, actress, definitely actor, Frankie Muniz. Everybody knows Frankie Muniz.
I know Frankie Muniz. Yeah. He's older. He's an older fella. 72.
Frankie Muniz?
Who am I thinking of?
Frankie Muniz. You know Frankie Muniz.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, God.
Well, 37.
It's already locked in. So
you said 37?
37.
40. So still.
Who is that? Oh, I was thinking of Frankie Valli.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. He's like 92, yeah. I think. Yeah, walking through. Let's see. Next on the list we have model Shalom Harlow.
Shalom Harlow.
Shalom, yeah.
Shalom.
How old is Miss Harlow? Model.
All right, it's this turn.
Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
78.
I'll go way younger. 31.
52. Man, we are really rolling along here.
Yeah, this game's not my strong suit.
It's okay. Last one we have here, don't even have this, but TikTok star Chase Rutherford.
Who?
I don't know.
TikTok star Chase McCabe. 24.
I'm going to go younger, 20.
Unbelievable. Connor Newt, 24 on the nose. He takes the lead 2-1. On to sports birthdays, if we may. Oh, my goodness. Connor Newt with the absolute zinger there. All right, sports birthdays. First on the list we have, Anthony Martial, former Premier League player for in England for soccer.
I have no idea who that is. Former, so 48.
I'll go 34.
30. All right. MLB baseball player Christian Yelich.
Ah. A player you cannot convince me is not on steroids his MVP year. It's Brando's turn.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I'm going to go with the same one, 34.
I'll go 35.
And Brandon retakes the lead. He's 34. I mean, 3-2, back and forth. Next on the list we have basketball player Josh Smith. How old is Josh Smith?
Josh Smith has
played for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. 28.
I'll go 42.
40. There's another one on the board for Brandon. That's 4-2.
I'm getting smoked.
And last one here on the list I have, MLB pitcher Trevor McGill. How old is Trevor McGill?
Trevor McGill is an oldie. 35.
38.
32, and Brandon Bigsby comes out victorious on this Friday on the Chase and Big Joe.
If I would have gotten Frankie Muniz, who I thought was a completely different person, maybe it would have been a different conversation.
Yeah, I really thought you'd grab the Frankie Muniz when I was like, this is...
I never watched Malcolm in the Middle.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a diehard watcher of it, but it was a pretty decent show.
I think they're doing a reboot of it, too.
If you're a NASCAR watcher, he is currently racing in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, actually. He has become a professional race car driver.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
He's just more than an actor, folks.
I actually knew that. Chase told me that one time. Because he's the only one here that cares about that.
You should. Hey. Me too. I love NASCAR.
He's a NASCAR guy. Love it. But
look at you.
Thanks for everybody listening today.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Great show in the neighborhood, as they say.
Great show in the neighborhood.
I believe I'll just take this real quick. But Joe normally tells people, you know, call 988 if they have any sort of, troubles going on in their lives. If you want to talk to somebody, you can email, text, whatever. Chase, Big Joe, myself, Connor, Brennan, whoever. But yeah, it's mental health is a big factor for this show, especially. If you have any issues or problems, call 988. It is a big thing in this life to make sure you're okay, because the world is a lot better with you in it. And for that, Connor, I think that's the best way to put it.
Amen to that. Let's see if I can do it exactly how Chase does it. Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game.